At a time when most movies are striving to showcase the latest in computer-generated effects and digital audio, the new movie Shadow of the Vampire turns to old technologies to tell its fictional story about the making of F.W. Murnau's 1922 classic Nosferatu. From member station KPBS, Beth Accomando reports.
Director Elias Marriage has a fascination for what he calls forgotten technologies.
It's interesting how technologies progress, how sometimes progress enthusiastically steamrolls over inventions that were very much worthy and very important, but were not developed to the extent that they deserved to be developed, and as a result, they never saw their sort of day in the sun.
So Marriage made his first film, Begotten, as a modern silent movie that employed vintage camera equipment and film processing techniques first used in the silent era. Begotten won praise on the film festival circuit before going to video, and it prepared Marriage for his second feature. Shadow of the Vampire imagines what it might have been like on F.W. Murnau's set as he was filming Nosferatu. Scripted by Stephen Katz, Shadow of the Vampire suggests that the actor Murnau contracted to play the lead was a real vampire who couldn't keep his hands or his teeth off the crew.
Why him, you monster? Why not the script girl?
The script girl. I'll eat her later.
No, you will not. Our bargain. You agreed not to hurt my people. Listen to me. Do you understand? This requires that I go back to Berlin to find another photographer and then to fly him back here. And you will control yourself while I am away.
As with Begotten, Shadow of the Vampire allows director Marriage to use film history as a jumping-off point for experimentation. But this time, he wanted to create audio that would complement the black-and-white images of Murnau's silent classic. So Marriage brought in sound designer Nigel Heath from London's Hackenbacher Studios.
We're not copying the sound of the original movie, which was, you know, obviously was a silent picture. So we came up with a sound that was kind of in everyone's head as to what perhaps it should sound like, what a lovely, crunchy, black-and-white silent sound film would sound like if it could sound like anything, which is a kind of a hybrid of old technology expanded upon using digital techniques, which is what's most interesting about this soundtrack, I think.
The filmmakers began by borrowing period wax cylinder recording devices from collectors. Wax cylinders record audio by having someone speak into a large horn. The sound then moves a diaphragm at the base of the horn, which in turn moves a stylus that cuts a groove into the wax. Nigel Heath explains that for the filmmakers, the limitation of the technologies turned out to be advantages.
It's the portions of the sound that are totally wiped out by the vintage equipment that makes that kind of memory thing in your head. You know, you don't hear any S's in the dialogue, you don't hear any bass. It's just like a telephone, but worse. And there's a very specific kind of distortion that the sound has.
It's a scratchy sound that director Elias Marriage says transports audiences back to another time.
The thickness of the wax itself, you know, allows you to get more warmth or more of a scratchiness out of the actual medium. And that's what creates this atmosphere for the ears to sort of, like, get engulfed in.
But Marriage and Heath also had to marry this old technology to the demands of modern filmmaking. So in addition to using wax cylinders, Nigel Heath employed a number of other techniques, including modifying his state-of-the-art equipment.
Okay, so let's take a paper cup. This is a water cooler paper cup. And if I stick it on the front of the microphone here, nice bit of noise, and you can hear that it's done a funny little sucking effect. It's got a funny sucking effect on the voice, and that's the kind of thing that the computer software can pick up on, and it helps us replicate the horn effect of the early recording device.
Heath also came up with a digital way of recreating the wax cylinder effect.
So this is my voice, obviously now talking to you quite clean, and this now is my voice, and I've just removed all the top end that's normally there, and I'm now going to add some wax cylinder surface noise. You're going to hear it come up now and start to obliterate my voice. And I'm going to add some distortion to my voice, a little bit of distortion there, and that now is sounding, hopefully, reasonably cylinder-like.
You're very content right now, aren't you, Ellen? You live in a nice house. You wear pretty clothes, and you're married to a kind man who's promised to love you forever. You have no inkling of what lives at the bottom of the flower box.
In Shadow of the Vampire, director Elias Marriage wanted to use sound to stimulate his audience in a different way than most contemporary films do.
I think a lot of people have just striven to make clean sound instead of work with sound as a true creative element, you know, within the context of a film. So that scratchiness is not just because it's old. It just is inherent in the rate with which the cylinder spins and the kind of harshness of the needle. It's sort of a fairly medieval, you know, in the way it actually renders itself. But it is that sort of very physical, very clumsy machinery that actually contributes to that otherworldliness, that feeling that you are listening to a disembodied voice, that you are listening to a ghost, that you are listening to something from another world. And I think that's important because so much of art is about transporting your imagination elsewhere and not just making it convenient for your imagination to sort of sit on the couch and do nothing.
Elias Marriage's Shadow of the Vampire opens today in theaters across the country. Audiences accustomed to stereo surround sound may be surprised. In addition to employing wax cylinders, parts of the film also use another old technology. They're in mono. For NPR News, I'm Beth Accomando.